Why are we putting this into, why are we looking at this? Why? Remember he said, beginning of the fourth section of this Perek and Bitachon, on the bottom page Tazayin. We saw yesterday the story of Reuben, that sketch he gave us of pretty nasty, unfortunately not so unlikely. It happens. But pretty nasty. The guy had a pretty firm look, a pretty firm pose, until there was a stress in his life, and when all of a sudden business wasn't going as smoothly, as the Chaznish put it, the jingle of Bitachon, the Zimras of Bitachon, all of a sudden disappeared, replaced by some pretty underhanded maneuvers. At first covert, and then ultimately out in the open, with the ultimate loss of Midas Habusha, and Machlekes, and Lashon Hara, and the works. Oozing, not pretty. Spiritual, moral, social ugliness. Why? Because it wasn't a real Bitachon. Again, one type of false Bitachon was everything's going to be great. The other type of false bitachon is it's talking talk, but not walking walk. If you think about it for a moment, the truth is they're probably very connected. In other words, if a shallow sense of bitachon just means everything's going to be great, well, once everything stops being exactly what I expect it to, well, my bitachon went out the window. A. B. If bitachon just says everything's going to be great, it's not really about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really about me. Everything will be the way I want it to be, the way I expect it to be. So that's not really, I could say bitachon, and again, it's, it calls mine everything, life is flowing smoothly, so it's easy to say bitachon, it makes me feel frum, but it's not really, that type of pseudo bitachon isn't really about Ribono Shel Olam. So that's not going to be the sort of thing that's going to shape my behavior to be as divine as possible. When bitachon is real, so then, it's really about recognizing the place and role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my life, both in terms of God in my life and in terms of the expectations he has of me, of how I have to raise myself to the standard he sets for us in terms of the Tariq Mitzvahs, that's very different. That's something that over time will shape me within. That even when I'm tested, even when I'm tried, even when life is tough, against Nisayon, but I'll get better results, I'll sort of be striving to be better. I'll have a picture of how I ought to be acting even in a difficult situation. And he says, you have to read. So the different types of false bitachon that we've seen really are very much connected. And then he says, and then we'll take a question in a couple moments. He says, I want you to understand something important. Omnam shlilas habitachon machzim nefesh hamaskelos. For a Jew to live without bitachon is certainly a gap, a lack, if you like, a lacuna. There's something missing. A Jew doesn't have bitachon. There's something missing in terms of my internal spiritual landscape. There's something missing in terms of what's supposed to be going on in my heart and my mind. A Jew mamash lives with no bitachon whatsoever, no belief in Ribono Shel Olam. That's pretty disconnected from the core of Yadus. He says, and yet, that sounds pretty bad. There's something worse than that. You know what's worse than no bitachon? A choli mar mizeh, a sadder, sicker situation than that? Bitachon hamazuyam, to have fake bitachon. To fake it, to be a faker, is even worse than to be honestly missing bitachon. Why? Biyos haziyuv shlila mukhletas. He says, if it's a fake pseudo bitachon, but you're just posing, you don't have it. So ein la zayfun mostar mashulo, someone who's a faker, not someone who honestly wants and is trying to grow into it and after pull some shachon bats. A guy who has no interest in bitachon, he just likes to look firm. So you have nothing over the guy who honestly has no bitachon, because you also have no bitachon. And harbi min hasha'aruria v'aheret b'boteach zayfani. A Jew who poses as being from, he's talking about bitachon in particular, that's true maybe in more general sense also, The Jew who's not actually connected to Rebbeinu Shlom, but pretends to be, is going to cause so much more damage. A person who's honestly not a Batech is not going to be causing the same type of collateral damage. A Jew who is disconnected does not have bitachon. Hazayfani mishul bebitachon mukhiv bezir. But a Jew who's a faker, he also has no bitachon, and he's also, in addition to that, guilty of faking. Hamishul lo yamshich achar. What does that mean? See, he goes on to explain. Hamishul lo yamshich achar b'chanichim mechanchem b'taras habitachon. A person who's honestly not connected is not going to have talmidim whom he's training in how to be a boteach. He doesn't claim to be a boteach. Hazayfan. A Jew who's a faker, who poses being so firm, but the bitachon is shallow, and bitachon is only a shell, and you have talmidim drawn in by the fake. A Jew who's honest about who he is, a Jew who is tragically disconnected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but is what he is, and is honest, so his moral failings are not going to cause the Chil Hashem. But a Jew who poses as being so flum, but Rosh Hashanah isn't really running his life, so his moral failings, which are a result of disconnection with Rosh Hashanah, that's going to cause Zayf and Kashem is Gala Klono. The guy who made a show of being so religious, but somehow that didn't get in the way of all sorts of immoral dealings, whether in the area of Gilui Arayos, whether in the area of Gezel, or whatever else it is, when the guy poses being so firm, but there's nothing really within, no connection to Rosh Hashanah within that's driving his behavior. So when all the dirty laundry gets aired in public, misparleim alilo savha matoavos neged Shimon Re'ehu. Going back to the sketch from before, when all of his underhanded maneuvers against Shimon come out in the open, and it all gets aired in public. Omrim ploni shalomad musar kam magunim maisav kam mechurim tachvulosav. Say, look at this fellow who was supposedly so frum and into musar and bitacha. You see what happens. How embarrassing it is. That's very important. This is not an argument for just being honestly not religious, obviously, but it is an argument for realizing that shallow, fake pseudo religiosity is not at all, you're not gaining anything. Again. And again, to make a point that we dwelled on a little bit when we were learning the Silas of Sharma in the year, the Midah of Jesus, it is absolutely true. This is not, again, number one, this is not an argument for all or nothing. Chazanish was very clear right at the beginning. It's not like either you are Boteach or you're not Boteach. If you're not 100%, don't even bother. That's not at all, Chalila, what he's saying. He told us beforehand, from the outset. There are levels. A Jew grows. It's a ladder with many, many steps. You grow up. Sometimes you move down. You seek to grow up again, to move upwards once again, step by step, rung by rung. And often I'm going to, and the only way I'm going to grow is when I dream and wish that I could be at a higher rung than I'm at now. And it starts with a dream and a wish and a desire to be there, then slowly working your way up. That's not what he's talking about here. Boteach hazayfani is a person who's just interested in external looks and is not interested in actually being different. A Jew who honestly wishes that he were closer to Boshem than he is right now, that's beautiful. That's a person who's moving up the ladder of bitachon, move up the ladder of connection to Boshem in general, move up particularly the ladder of bitachon. But here it's saying the guy who just wants the show and just wants the outer to look from, the guy is just a poser. So he's worse, Shema Tomar, at least having a frum look, a religious look, is better than nothing. He says, if anything, it's worse. It's incredibly positive to want to be greater person than I am. But to not want to be greater, but just to want to look a certain way, and to give a certain impression, that does not say a question of clothing, but a question of giving the impression of being a spiritually impressive person, but really I'm not and have no desire to be so in any true internal way, so that's just going to cause even greater Chil Hashem. Shaya.
Is there something to be said for looking, quote-unquote, from, but also wanting it? because this seems like as if like you don't want, but you just want look from. Is there something to step
right, out? No, so that there is a concept. We saw the Seel Shacharim and discussed the Midas of Jesus, in which the Sefer Chinuch discusses, and there are even earlier sources in Chazal for this, that if I honestly want to, I want to feel a certain way. What was the Mitzvah Sharma's example? I want to be the guy. I want to be enthusiastic on mitzvahs. I know mitzvahs are important. I know it's what I'm supposed to do. I know it's the right thing to do. And I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do. But I'm not enthused. I'm not energetic. I'm not pumped. I do it because that's what I'm supposed to do. I wish I wasn't that way. Right? I wish I already had not just the heroes but the reasons. I wish that, not just, I know I have to do it because it's what I'm supposed to do, but which is already in Madrega, which is already a very impressive Madrega. I wish that I was like pumped. I want to be excited to do mitzvahs, but I'm not. And it bothers me. And I wish I was the guy who was excited to do mitzvahs. So Mesillas Yesharim says, you know, why don't you start by, if you actually wish you were that guy inside, then why don't you start by acting the way such a person would act? He says, run to shul. I have no desire to run to shul. I have to go to shul. I know I'm supposed to do it. So I'll show up to me and be like, really? I'd rather stay in bed. Really, I'd rather walk as slowly as I could from home to shul. I know, like, it's really a 5-minute walk to shul. Meeting starts in 3.5 minutes. What I should be doing is jogging, so I get there on time. Right? But, like, I don't feel like it. I just feel like, you know, I'll mosey along and I'll show up when I show up. Right? So, but I wish I wasn't that way. If I really wish that I was the guy who was running, so run. Run as though, act as though you felt it. If you felt it, you would run. So he says, you don't feel like it, just run anyways. It's not, it's hard to control how you feel. It's easier, not easy, but easier to control how you act. He says, act as though you care. Act as though you're really pumped. Run. And he says, if you run, after a while, if it becomes a habit, it's going to seep in. But that's where you wish you were a certain way. Here we're talking about, he doesn't, no, he thinks he's great. It's all just a show. It's all just a sham. He may have even fooled himself. It's a thing, this is what Frumkeit is all about. It's a godless Frumkeit. There's no Rabbon Shalom here. I think I told you that story of the in Kutz Maisa, bears repeating. No, I think maybe it was the first guy, Rebbe, Chusharim, who was ultimately became a big Talmud, of one of the biggest Talmud of the Kutz. He might be, not sure if it was with him, a different figure who ultimately became a major Talmud of the Kutz. So he's a young man. I feel like I must have told you this story. No? He's a young man. He's looking for a Rebbe. There are many, you know, Tamir Chacham, many Tzadikim. We found someone who's really, he's going to have a Kesher Nafshu. He's really going to resonate with. Someone who can take him really to the next level. A transformative Rebbe. The Rebbe Mama. So he's looking around, and someone tells me he should check out Katz. Because he comes to Katz, and I think it's Chosh Elo, and the Tavi is very nice, and learning is very nice, and they're working, the Avodah is beautiful, but it's like, yeah, okay. Rosh Hashanah is very nice. Very hard to get beautiful Tavi. Okay, there are many beautiful Tavi all over Eastern Europe. And 1,000 other places you go also. It was very nice, but you know, it wasn't unique. They tell him he's ready to leave, and they tell him, this is why I heard the story. After Rosh Hashanah, he's ready to go. They say, you got to wait for Yom Kippur. Just try it. You're here already. Just give it another chance. Give it a chance till Yom Kippur, then you'll decide. Again, I say, my tshuva is very nice, very beautiful. Hartzik Adavin, and tshuva, and avoda, very nice. But again, but no, nothing that really grabbed. Kol Nidre, beautiful. Very, very nice, but... After Kol Nidre, someone gets directed to some side room, the annex, I guess, of the Kutz Gebetzner. And maybe there too, there was a divider, and it said, please don't open the divider unless you're authorized to do so. And if you don't know whether or not you're authorized to do so, that means you're not authorized to do so. But whatever it was, he walks in, the kind of divider was open, because the room was set. The table was set, almost like a yuntif meal. A table full of food. And all the senior chassidim of the Kutz Rebbe are sitting around the table, right? And they're about to eat. And he's like, oh, he walks in there's like, what on earth? Scandal. The senior chassidim of the Kutz Rebbe eat on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur night? It's like, mom, I'm mumar lahachas. Like, you're not even hungry. What on earth is going on here? It's Yom Kippur. So he's like, oh, what's wrong? He's like, ah. Wait, what's wrong? You're eating. No, so what? It's Yom Kippur. So, what's wrong with Yom Kippur? They eat Yom Kippur. It's like, what's wrong with Yom Kippur? Said Shulchan Aruch. It's okay. You're saying good. Say better. So it's a, he's like shocked, like it's a Gemara. It's like, okay, say better. It's a Mishnah, the first Mishnah, last parak of Yuma. Okay. It's a buzzing in Chumash. Okay, not bad. Say better. This is a Kodesh Baruch Hu said you can't eat Yom Kippur. Now you're beginning to understand what we're trying to teach you here in Kass. And with that, he bought it. That was it. Because it seems so pashut, but the yesod is very deep. Because so often we even when we're people who care about halacha, who learn halacha, but how often do we learn halacha? How often do we learn halacha? And sometimes how rarely do we think in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects me to do X. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me to avoid Y. You're talking just yesterday about how keep it out of the aim can sometimes be an incredibly difficult insight. If you're an adolescent and you have no idea what I'm talking about, you should consider yourself incredibly lucky, because it's unusual, bracha. It is not unusual for kibud avim, even in a healthy situation, let alone an unhealthy situation. Even in a healthy situation, it's typical that kibud avim comes with its stresses, and it's not that pashut always, and it could be a difficult task to master. But it's a world of difference to say, I have to do this, versus saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me to do this. So I put on tefillin because, whatever, I have to put on tefillin. Put on tefillin because HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me to wear these every morning. That's transformative. But that comes back to this Chazon Ish. The antithesis of doing it because Baruch Hu wants me to is this like godless, fake religiosity, this godless pseudo bitachon, that's purely just looks. It's not at all about yachas, relationship to Moshe. You're not going to get the real results you're looking for. You're not going to build character. You're not going to build moral fiber. You're not going to build kedusha. You're not going to build the sort of person who's only been nisayon, who holds himself to a certain standard. But you're just going to build social pressure to look a certain way. But then when there's enough counter pressure, because Shimon opened up a store, and then all of a sudden what's really going on inside of Reuven leaks out and oozes out, and all that muck, moral muck inside comes out, so then the fact that everyone thought he's so frum, of whatever flavor frum, it doesn't really matter, that's a transfer of Hashem. Had he been honestly not connected, had he been open about not being connected to Ron Shalom, that wouldn't be good at all. But at least it wouldn't create a Chilul Hashem. So this is not an argument for just, have no relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He started by saying, the person has absolutely no bitachon, kematcha in lo chelik bikari ayadas. Almost entirely disconnected from the fundamentals of Judaism. That's not okay either. Let's be very clear. But don't think that better would be to be a poser. To be a poser is even worse. Better would be to begin to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of it. To begin, over time, to build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A relationship, and then part of that relationship is a behavioral expectation. But and often acher pulls mishalchan alvados. Often it's going to be I'm doing things. If I really cared so profoundly, if I was in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I would do X. I'll let me just do X. But because I wish I was a guy who loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then over time that's real and that's substantive, and that again it goes back to the original dichotomy with which he began. Of thinking, bitachon means just this convenient way of believing that whatever I want to happen will happen, versus really thinking about emuna in Hashem and what that means for my life. Harav Mermelstein, El Azar, with Alam. I think that if you don't even want to be a certain way, I'm not sure that's necessarily going to grow in that way. If I'm just... If you put a seed in the ground, and then you water it, and the sun shines on it, so then the seed can grow. But if I take an empty... if I miss the first day... When someone put the seed in, I just saw, my uncle, he has a flower pot, it's full of dirt, he waters it, and then, you know, a couple months later, plants grow. That's cool. So I'll go to this. I'll go to Home Depot. I'll get a flower pot. I'll get a bag of potting soil. I'll buy a watering can. I'll water it every day. And lo and behold, nothing's grown. How you talking? What do you mean? I do the same thing he's doing. I have the pot of soil. I water it every day. It's in the sun, garnished. So the answer is, well, sometimes you can't see it right away, but there's a world of difference in terms of what's in the genius. If there's a seed there, and I'm watering it, and providing it with nutrition and sunlight, so then, over time, it can grow. But there has to be a seed. And if it's just doing stuff, it could be, at times, maybe sometimes it could be, or at the very least, a person is neutral. 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 I'm doing mitzvah, doing the right thing, I'm doing mitzvah. Simple Joe, neutral. But a person really doesn't want to be that, has no desire whatsoever, he just wants to look a certain way, I think it's unlikely. I think it may also be meduyik in the Lashon HaGemara in Kiddushin. Gemara says, Halavai osi al zavavis harasi shamaru, she ma'or shavah machzirin lamuta. Gemara is allowing, speaking, expressing the ideas that Ribbono Shel Olam is conveying to the Navi, that had Klal Yisrael, you know, Halavai osi al zavavis but harasi shamaru. They would have abandoned Ribbono Shel Olam, but at least kept the Torah, ma'or shavah machzirin lamuta. The light of Torah brings you back. So sometimes you see people who are involved in Talmud Torah and are not shaped by it. So presumably the answer is, it's Me'or Sheva. It's only going to work. Gemara didn't just say the Torah is Machzir, Shehi Machzir Lamutav. So the light within Torah is Machzir Lamutav, which I assume means, the delicacy and the nuance, the language of Chazal, so it means is if you're attuned to the light within Torah, if you're attuned to some sense of pneumius, of inner meaning, so then it could have an impact. Even if in many ways I'm very far, but I'm attuned to the fact there's some inner sense of meaning. There's Ribbono Shel Olam here. There's something deeper here. But if it's just totally minasaf of alachot and a faker, so then that's, I think, very different. I think so. No?
Some of us were in Israel's, I don't know what you're breaking, but like we were wearing, like, you know, we were wearing the mirror. We didn't even wear it because I don't think I really wore it because I believe, like, yet that that's how you're supposed to get dressed. I sort of just wore it because, like, then I didn't look very weird and then I fit in. So, like, that, would you say, to a certain extent, that I was, like, I don't think that was, like, cheating, but it was more just, it wasn't necessarily doing it for Kodesh Baruch. Like, I wasn't, like, doing it.
Yeah, so that's what I tried to say more subtly before. Once you raise the issue of yeshivish, not yeshivish, called different cultures of Shomer Torah mitzvahs. That's what I was alluding to before. That what he's saying about there's honest, real religiosity, religious behavior that is rooted in something versus just trying to fool people, like saying how firm I am, that could be many different flavors of firm. That could be Hasidish firm, it could be Litvish firm, it could be Dati Lumi firm, it could be Modern Orthodox firm. It doesn't really, of all the different colors and flavors and shvatim of people who care honestly about Shmiras Torah Mitzvahs, as in every culture there'll be different markers of I'm more connected or less connected. But if you just engage in the markers, whether it has to do with the brand of hat you wear, whether it has to do with, you know, what type of sandals you wear, it doesn't really matter. I don't think that objectively as wearing a white shirt is going to objectively corresponds to greater firmkeit than wearing a blue shirt. In every culture, there may be ways of expressing being more serious, and there may be ways of expressing as being more connected and taking Ribbono Shel Olam seriously. So, number one, if you're living within a certain culture, so if that's a way of giving expression in whatever culture you live in, that's a way of giving expression or identifying with the people who are more serious, the people who are less serious, okay. But, again, if a guy is just going to put on a hat and jacket, I don't think hat and jacket necessarily even Akhir Pulis and Shachan loves. But yeah, if you're in the mirror, it makes sense. I think it's wise to, you'll feel more comfortable if you look like you belong. Okay. When in Rome, do the Rome. But like, I don't think anything bad about that.
But like the whole thing of like.
As a matter of fact, I would even say, and then Rafi's Wayne also, I would even say that I think there's value to. I don't think you should feel mechuyev to wear the hat and jacket. We'll go into the mirror, but I do think that there's value for a Jew to be comfortable, have a somewhat broader comfort zone. I think there's a lot of value to a Jew, to an aspiring Ben Torah, knowing that there are different flavors of Avodas Hashem, and I am proud of my Masor from my Rebbeim, which is wherever it is, which for one guy's over here, for another guy's over here, for another guy's over here, that's fine. And there are multiple healthy drachim Avodas Hashem. Not every derech, not everything that purports to be a derech Avodas Hashem is honest or authentic or serious or healthy. But there are many healthy, authentic Mahalchim Avodas Hashem. That's fine. And there are Chassidish ones, and there are Lutzvish ones, and there are Dati Lumi or Minor Orthodox ones. Okay. There are flavors of serious, honest, authentic dedication to Ribbono Shalom in a real way in all of those worlds. But at the same time that I'm proud of, you know, the Masor I have from my Rebbeim, I think it's important to be able to be, for a Jew to be comfortable in other worlds also. In other words, yeah, I'm going to learn Rebbe Shem we're learning, but I think that's not the biggest mitzvah in the world, but I think there's value in knowing that I could feel comfortable walking into the mirror and learning for an afternoon Seder. I could feel comfortable walking into Malei Adumim and learning for a morning Seder. Whether I feel more comfortable in the mirror, or I feel more comfortable in Malei Adumim, or some third version, I feel more comfortable in Reis and Ger, but again, not that I have to be a mirror guy or be a Malei Adumim, but to feel a little comfort in with other Shomrei Torah, with other serious Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, that I think is very important. To live in a bubble, it's not the worst thing in the world, but to live in a bubble is unfortunate. It's unfortunate narrowing, and people from every flavor of serious Shomrei Torah mitzvahs often end up living in a little bubble, and that's unfortunate. Why is that unfortunate? Number one, because obviously Israel dictates that we should be comfortable with other Jews, and we should not be comfortable. We should love other Jews and value other Jews, and also because no circle of Ovdei Hashem, no circle of Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs is perfect. Every culture of Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs has its own profile of the things they do well, the things they do poorly, and which nisyonos are more socially acceptable to ignore, and which mitzvahs and averus are more fervently kept. And a Jew has to not feel that I'm a partisan member of a certain camp. A Jew has to feel I work for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm an Eved Hashem. And I'm obviously going to be a healthy, well-adapted person is going to operate within a certain culture and within a certain society. But at the same time, you have to be able to be properly inspired by the good things that other types of Jews do better than I do. And to take the Misukanim Shebehem from other flavors of Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. Because ultimately, the goal is not to be this party or that party, this flavor or that flavor. The goal is to be over the chef. The goal is to work for Moshe. Rafi, you're waiting very patiently. Okay. Wow. Havlaga. One last question.
I think the story that the Chazon Ish gives of Reuben can happen to someone that is like that thinks that he is good to talk about. Not that he's like posing, but like he legitimately thinks that he is good to talk about. And then when the circumstance comes up that like his bitachon was actually tested, like he realizes, like, okay, he doesn't have bitachon. So like, I don't think Reuben has to be portrayed like this guy who walks around, you know, walking the walk, just because like to make everyone think that he's a boteach. I think he could also be someone who is like genuinely trying to be a boteach, but then when he actually has to use that bitachon, like he realizes.
Right, that's true. It could be honest. It could be honest and serious, and I'm on a journey.
Because I think that you don't really know if you have that level of bitachon that the Chazon Ish is talking about unless you're in a situation where you can actually use it. If you've been working on bitachon, there's no way to test if you actually have that bitachon unless like you have nothing and you're going to just have to rely on God.
That's very poetic. You just gave a very poetic expression to that Ramban we talked about yesterday, about Nisayan, the value of Nisayan. Right? Nisayan is a chance to see, for me to demonstrate how far I've grown. That is definitely true. Right, and you're saying just because a person fails doesn't mean that it was all fake. Absolutely. Although his stress on, and maybe that's part of why the Chaznish was stressing. So you're really asking, like, why is the Chaznish so down on Reuven? He's an honest Jew, and he's growing, and this test was pushed him beyond his limits. Right. So maybe that's why the Chaznish was sort of stressing, was satirizing, the extent to which not just Reuven, he is what he is, but Reuven talks a big talk about how big a Boteach is. And Reuven has his, and he said again at the very end of section Dal we just read, you know, is to have Talmidim and to have a, feel like I have a whole Mahalach and I'm a Rebbe and I can, Rebbe or Rebbe or Rabbi, whatever inflection, it's all the same, is I'm B'mamid Talmidim in my Mahalach and it's really not nearly as much as I, the Gaiva angle or the self-promotion angle is maybe the difference between I'm an honest, what he's describing as Reuven versus what you're saying is I'm an honest Jew, I'm growing, I'm at this level of bitachon, and this nisayon was beyond it. Right. And that's the and the Chil Hashem he talks about is also comes from if I self-promote as I'm so religious, I'm so firm, and I'm such a boteach, and more so than what I really have inside, that's when I really get myself in trouble. And that is, maybe we'll end with this, and that is why section Hey, we shouldn't end on a negative note, and you're really segueing us into the positive, which is, he says, let's talk about what it could be. Midas the bitachon kinyan halev. The real bitachon is less on the outside, it's really in my heart and mind. Mitava boteach, and then here, the very next line speaks to what we were just talking about. Mitava boteach be'emes, or real boteach, or again, and as he told before, it's not yes or no, it's not binary, but to the extent that I have real bitachon, it's going to be expressed b'hatznei aleches. It's going to be with modesty. You're not going to, the real bitachon will not express itself in talking about how much I'm a boteach. The way you spoke about realizing that, you know, I'm limited in my bitachon, that's an expression of a real boteach. But lamasa, the first person is humble. The person realizes I should, like, the recite going, you know, doing tshuva, and in fact, I don't have even more emuna than I already have. But lamasa, tilve imo bitachon, the otzma bo yizbarach. Guy is not all into how big a boteach he is, but in truth, the bitachon really does help move him along. It gives him strength. And then he says, this alternative sketch that he gives is quite impressive. This is bespeaks quite a madrego bitachon. Lo yichas im re'eu poseach hanos. He won't be frightened if his friend opens the store. To the contrary, yishtadl od lazer l're'eu. He'll work hard to help the other guy. L'sachne ve'etzatova, l'asos avuro. Try to help him out. Try to give him advice. What? Think about how much kedusha is added to the world when you see that. See someone helping out someone who might also be a competitor. And add such praise to Yirei Hashem. For people to see that a Yirei Hashem could do that, Ashrav v'ashrei doro. Wow, that is so impressive. The generation that can see that is beyond. Yisron or minachoshech, Yisron ha'emes minashaker, Yisron bitachon amiti, bitachon mezuyot. The difference between real bitachon and fake bitachon, it's a world of difference. There's no noise, there's no self-promotion, and there's real connectedness from Baruch Shalom, and real kedusha, and real beauty, real moral beauty. There's a difference between real and fake, and the difference between light and dark. Totally night and day difference. Now, but we end with a question, which is, this is very beautiful, but a question we'll pick up with Blina and Eric going forward. This is very beautiful, but I'm going to help out my competitor? That seems a little excessive. Okay, so I won't, you know, try anything devious or underhanded to, like, destroy him, but I can help him out. Am I supposed to be doing that? And where would that come from? And aren't I supposed to do hishtadlus to make sure that my business goes well? Isn't that like shooting myself in the foot? I'm certainly not mechuyev to shut my business down because someone else wants to open a convenient business. So how does this work? That's something that we'll pick up with the Mitzvah going forward. Maybe we'll hold off on questions for now.